Welcome to the Draft Doctors Fantasy Footy Podcast with your hosts, John Crockett, Steve Fizz, and the Statesman.
G'day, everybody, and welcome to the Draft Doctors. I'm John Crockett. A big happy Mother's Day to all the mothers out there who are listening. Hope we've had a great day. But before I introduce all the guys, we have a bit of a segment on the show called The Strampling. Now, we always strample someone else, or we have the listeners send in their stramplings, but we've never had a self-strample on the show, and it's going to go to me this week. I'm in the boxing ring. The lads, you're getting there. You've got the gloves on, ready to knock the living suitcase out of me. That's because each week we write articles for the website, which you can find on thedraftdoctors.com.au, and my article is to write late-week pickups. Now, this week, I thought it was a good idea to throw in Matt Kennedy for the Carlton Blues. They're up against the Bombers. It's cold, wet, and windy in Melbourne, but I didn't even actually look at the teams and saw that he was omitted. So our great listeners there pointed that out really quickly on the Twitterverse and said they're going to pick him up in their VFL draft teams. And just for those playing at home in the draft leagues for the VFL, he had an absolute cracker of a game with 31 possessions, 4 marks, 6 tackles, and 121 fantasy points. So if you chucked a big C on Matty Kennedy, you'd be doing very well for yourself right there. But we welcome to you, Stevie Fizz. How you doing, pal?
I'm doing all right, Jono. How about instead of a strampling, you just lay down in our matchup this week? We're playing each other in the home league. How about it, champ?
When I'm just pushing under 2,000 points for the week, I don't see that happening too much. Unless I put Jack Billings as captain.
Well, anyway, it's big news in the Fizz household because Mrs. Fizz has decided we are not broke enough and has started putting the hard word on for another baby Fizz. Now, I'm a one and done kind of guy. I like my golf fantasy. It's one and done. But John, I've discovered a bit of a game changer, which maybe my finances will be freed up. I've discovered the $3.50 clean skin down at Dan Murphy's. Now, this is a fantastic drop. I don't want to know what happened to my sinuses, my frontal lobes after a week of the $3.50 clean skins, but all I can say is I've got money to eat 2-minute noodles tonight. It's been a winning week at the Fizz household, so maybe the leg will get thrown over.
Well, the 350 bottles of vino at Dan Murphy, they go a treat. You can either drink it and clean the stomach out or add it to your cooking. It goes both ways.
Well, we had a blocked kitchen sink, so I just tipped it down the drain and it cleaned that right up.
It certainly does that as well. And if you need it to run your car, you can chuck it in the fuel tank as well. Now, one man who'd be fuming about this sort of chit-chat about the wine, that is a Statesman down there in Tasmania. I hope you're doing all right and the floods haven't reached you, your house, and seem to be pretty crazy down there. Welcome to you.
I'm a bit exhausted, to be honest with you, gentlemen. Went for a long swim today in Hobart's new swimming pool. We used to call it Collins Street, and there's quite a few lanes free and available for all of us to use at the moment. I'll be honest, it has been a big couple of days with plenty of cleaning up to be done after the big storm, and certainly our property here was well and truly affected with half the playground and yard above us and next door ended up in our backyard. So it's been a fair bit of fun and quite a steep little driveway that we've got because we've got fantastic views. You guys wouldn't know about that. But there's these things called hills and you get on top of them and you can see things. It's fantastic. So it's been a bit of fun, a bit hectic and very tired little boy at the moment. So I'm looking forward to a good sleep after having another successful weekend, except for obviously our Listener League fantasy, which was another loss, but that's just better for the draft picks.
It's all about the draft picks, isn't it? Well, you could have the other extreme.
Well, it is now.
The other extreme is my folks at the moment over in Hawaii. They're touring the many volcanoes that are erupting over there on the Big Island, so they're safe and sound and some pretty good shots, actually. They're flying over as the volcano's erupting. But we are here to talk about fantasy football. And if you want to follow us on social media, you can do that by checking us out on Twitter, where we are at The Draft Doctors, at Statesman33, at The Potato Bake, and STPorter15 as well. We're going to move on and talk about our top 5 things that we noticed from round 8. And Steve, why don't you kick us off as to what you saw?
Yeah, well, I just want to say the first thing that I saw happen during the week, and it's trading for injured players, and I'm always remiss to think that it's a good idea to trade in injured players. I always say the best availabilities, your best ability is your availability, and it happened in our own league, John, or maybe it was last week. Your brother traded for an injured Dan Hannanbury, and then what happens? Luke Shuey does his hamstring, so he's down more players. Like it just compounds the issue. I find so often you think you're getting a great deal, but often it just leads to more problems, and then you have to cut someone you don't want to cut, or you're playing a man down. And it scares the hell out of me trading for injured players. So that's just always an interesting one. It's never the bargain it seems, is it? Just a little caveat there. How about the Tom Rockliffe? The Tom Rockefeller back in the middle. 19 CBAs. Bit of a role change from what we saw him the first half of the season, pumping out a nice 39 average or whatever the hell it was. But we haven't seen that sort of role for Tom Rockliffe in the teal. So he's going all right. If you've got him in AFL Fantasy, obviously he's listed as a forward now. So you're doing pretty nicely. But in the Supercoach formats, he's only in it, scored a 98 as opposed to 127 in your Dream Team formats. So he's, I don't know, he's an interesting one. Maybe you're scared, maybe you want to sell him, but they've certainly got some moving parts there, Port Adelaide, but they're probably feeling a little bit better about themselves with a win. Maybe it's bad news for Ollie Wines. Maybe it's bad news for Robbie Gray, Jono, as a Robbie Gray owner.
Yeah, he did go deep forward there for most of the game, but hey, kicked 6 and eggs and still had 20 possessions, so still pretty happy with that. He'll get his time through the middle, you think, and maybe Wingard's the one to be affected by that.
Well, I don't know. He's not going to kick 6 goals every week, is he?
Well, maybe. We can only hope.
Well, probably kick 12 this week against the Suns over in Troina. Jordan Ngoi got a fair bit of play through the midfield today for Collingwood with Captain Scott Penderbury laid out. Don't know that he'll continue on in this role, laying 0 tackles in the first half and only 2 for the match. Bit of a worry with the defensive efforts there from Ngoi, but we certainly saw him at times last year run through the middle and rack up the touches. We sort of always thought that was going to happen, but I'm just a little bit scared about what's going to happen because he's a match winner inside forward and that's where they're struggling, so I'm not sure that's going to continue, but it's certainly one to keep an eye on. Jed Godison, this is someone who is in the middle, and we mentioned him last week, is just rolling through the middle, first centre bounce, he was in there. Jed Anderson from North Melbourne, get on him, it's all happening for him. I know people might be scared of him, but the role is absolutely just pure mid. We'll talk about him later in the waivers, but he's just absolutely a must-own in every league for me at this point in time. Dale Thomas, we know he's been playing on the wing, but he sort of moved into that sort of sweeperish role. He's continuing to bang out scores. What did he have, like 15 marks or something? Unbelievable. If you picked up Dale Thomas, just what a great ad. He's probably still floating around in some leagues, but absolutely very interested. And just last piece of advice I noticed. If you share a Twitter account with someone and they're going to post an article, just be prepared for your mentions to be lit once in a while. Jono, it felt like half of Twitter came at us with Matt Kennedy was out. Unbelievable scenes. And I was pulling out what very little hair I have left. Thanks a lot, buddy.
Well, it's best to do your research, and at least our listeners took it in good fun and didn't pan us too much, unlike what we saw on Friday night after the Hawks game and the Traders just absolutely copping it for their Tom Mitchell captain option. Man, that was some savage stuff there on Twitter. Hope we don't get that sort of backlash in the years to come.
Well, I think anyone photographed drinking Bogues deserves that sort of treatment, quite frankly.
Thank you. And with that, what have you noticed in your top five this week, Statesman?
Well, loopholes and not just for captain options. If anyone had Ronk on their bench for Friday night's game, they bagged themselves a lovely bonus of 121 points. So always ensure that you have a look each week, especially if you have a dispensable spot on your bench, and use it to your advantage. Have a look through the waiver wires, find out. I always try to get one or two positions for the Friday or for the Thursday night games when they pop up. So you're using them as the loophole, and go a risky option. You just never know. I mean, even Josh Jenkins has a big game every now and again. So some of those players are actually worthwhile having on your bench. The second one, you don't hear me say this too often, but I was wrong. West Coast are not a bottom four team. That's where I thought they were going to be. Three games clear from ninth spot right now, so they'll play finals. Jack Darling, who has promised so much for a long period of time, he's 25 years, turning 26 in June after scoring a double century during the under 18 national championships. He was the talk of the town, one of only two players ever to do that. He scored 204, having a banner year, and he's very fantasy relevant all of a sudden. So he's actually averaging 90 in AFL fantasy scoring and over 100 in Supercoach as a forward option. Quite obviously unique in the salary cap options, but obviously still available in a few leagues. He only got drafted by 20% of competitions. That is quite remarkable. So he was starting the year only owned by 20%. So probably the best waiver wire pickup anyone's had, to be fair, so far this year. Quite remarkable story, Jack Darling. And I think that's 3 tons out of the last four games. That's incredible form. Not so hot is Essendon. Lunchmeat is one of only a handful of players that can hold their head high for this season so far. Merritt's obviously got that Monty Kerr slap the tang. Goddard with his pretzels and now a hard tag that worked and worked very well. Jed Lamb is only useful for two things, and that's tagging him and Sicily. So we could possibly see a change of direction at the Essendon Football Club now, because I would say that they're getting to the point realizing that finals aren't on the card. And if that's the case, you need to change your focus a little bit. So just keep your eye on the waiver wire, because there might be some young, good options coming up at the Essendon Football Club over the next few weeks. And certainly, if it doesn't happen prior to, I expect it to happen after the bye. Could halfback actually be the answer for Aaron Hall? He has the pace, he has the attacking flair that actually suits the role. So we finally have a place for one of our fantasy stars. So scoring a ton when half your time is actually at halfback flank is quite impressive. So keep an eye on that and the trends on that if that remains, and if they tick him in the box and give him a game for at least 3 games on the trot, which is pretty rare for Aaron these days. You never know, he might even get defender status in some of the formats, and hopefully ultimate footy in the keeper league. If Aaron Hall becomes a defender, I've finally got a decent defender. I think three of them scored 40 for me this week, which was really cheerful. And last but not least is Rucks. Brisbane are going with two, and this week they both scored well. Bulldogs are going with none. GWS actually started with Lachie Keefe as their number one ruckman this weekend. It seems that you either have a gun, a Brodie Grundy, a Maxi Gawn, or it's the option of trying to find another midfielder. So therefore, I ask the question, so why Lachlan Keefe? So he's not a ruckman, he's not the extra midfielder. I don't think it's something that GWS should be keep on doing. But I think you're actually going to find you're either going to compete really well with a gun, or you're actually going to change it and look at a midfielder that can actually give you something around the ground.
Yeah, just on that ruck one, it was interesting because the Dogs were putting Dunkley in the ruck on the weekend. Steph Martin had 12 hitouts to advantage, but the Doggies sharked about 14 hitouts from him as well. So you can see what Richmond do. They have Sean Grigg and whatnot, so they're going to roll him through the ruck contest. They know they're going to lose it, but why not have that extra midfielder around the ball?
Absolutely.
My top five this week, Sean Burgoyne. He will get defender status at some time this year. Spent plenty of time down there on Friday night and the previous weeks. We know he's about 45 years old at the moment, but he's still playing quality football and scoring quite well as well. The Saints, I don't want anything to do with them anymore. They're bloody hopeless. Jack Billings, I've got him in our home league. You can't pull him, and he's got no trade currency, so you might have to look for a two-for-one deal there to get rid of him out of your team. But probably as soon as you do get rid of him, he's going to start starring again. So you're damned if you do, and you're damned if you don't with him. The Doggies, they do need another tool in that team. We saw their defence has been decimated by injury, and again this week, Aaron Norton's gone down with that ankle injury. I had a look at Ruffy or Trengove in the VFL. They were good without being great. Both had the 17 possessions, took a few marks, but I think Ruffy might get the nod as he can pinch hit in the ruck. He's got the great leap and had the 22 hitouts to help Tom Boyd go forward. I can't see Luke Beveridge using Dunkley consistently in the ruck, especially when they go over to Adelaide this Friday night up against Source Jacobs, who's probably much on par with Steph Martin and taller as well. The Melbourne Demons, they are hot to trot at the moment, and they're going to be hard to beat. They've got an in-form ruckman, Maxi Gawn, and if Jesse Hogan doesn't get you, then certainly Tom McDonald is going to pop up and kick five goals. Such a great contested mark, kick the five snags on the weekend. And I really like the move of Gus Brayshaw playing in the middle. He's attending the centre bounces. He's hard at it. He can tackle. It's what we've been waiting for him. And he's listed as a defender, so he's going to be pumping out some quality scores for you throughout the year. And Geelong's defence, I thought they're going to be absolutely stuffed when they've lost the likes of Mackey, Enright, Bartell in there. But they've found a really couple of good ones there. And Tom Stewart, who's just really great at intercept marks. Had 9 on the weekend against the Pies. Another 20-odd disposals, close to 30, I think it was, and turned up again. So if you got Tom Stewart, he would have been floating around on your waiver wire. It's a great pickup there. And Zach Tui as well is another quality pickup there as well. And that's my top five for this week. We're going to move on now to our waiver wire pickups, and when we do talk our waiver wire pickups, we use Ultimate Footy 65% or less ownership. So if you're in the deeper league, you have a better chance at picking these players up. And my first pickup this week is Brendan Archie from the West Coast Eagles. We know they're flying. He's in 35% of the team. He's a mid forward. He actually had 21 disposals, 7 marks, 5 tackles, and was used as that link player, as we've seen, like Bailey Fritch from the Melbourne Demons as well. Really liking what he's doing. We know he's a gun player, middle to gun player, coming over from Port Adelaide. Getting ahead of myself there.
Whoa.
I've been on the sauce a bit today. So.
Steady.
But he's going to produce some consistent scores. We know the West Coast Eagles are a pretty fantasy-friendly team at the moment, so I'll be looking to grab Brendan Archie. Liam Duggan has learned how to play fantasy football the last couple of weeks. He's in 44% of teams, scoring around the 80s for you, so in plenty of leagues there. He was a late-week call-up in the waiver wire pickup article, and that is Darcy Lang from the Blues in 33% of teams. Got you the 76ers. This week, 13 possessions, 4 tackles and a couple of goals. The Blues will be liking the pressure that he brings to the table there. Now, Steve, you mentioned DeGoey playing through the midfield, but the scapegoat in Chris Mayne actually has been producing some really good scores the last couple of weeks. He's only in 9% of teams, had the 20-odd disposals, 9 tackles, so we know his pressure's right up there and can play that pressure forward and snag a few goals. So if you need a forward, Chris Mayne there. We'll be running through the midfield depending on how long Pendlebury is out. And a super coach one is Harris Andrews from the Brisbane Lions in 17% of teams. He's knocked out 3 tons this year and 3 other scores in the 80s as well. So if you're in the super coach format and need a defender, Harris Andrews has been doing some really quality stuff, and they're my 5. Steve, who have you got?
Unbelievably, John, I've only had 1 of your 5. I had Brendan Archie in as my 2nd pickup, but Jed Godison, straight to the top with a bullet. 45% ownership. List as a forward. Love that. Actually, it's pretty unbelievable. I mean, this kind of shows how worthless forwards are. Is like I could have listed 10 forwards who you could pick up who are probably going to score over 80 next week. So yeah, Jack Billings is kind of worthless at the moment, John. I don't feel your pain at all. Nick Barlow, oh my God. Number 3, I've got George Hewitt. I saw him do the tagging role on Friday night. He's a forward, only in 44% of teams. Look, he scores well. And this is the big thing is, like, I know you mentioned Melbourne are in hot to trot at the moment, but they're in a block of really easy games. Sydney are about to come into that block themselves where they play like Frio, Carlton, Brisbane, all the teams you'd expect them to play well against. So I love George Hewitt. You can pick up any of them, like Ronke, Papley. Just giddy up on the Swans who are on the waiver wire because they're about to win a few games over the next month. Number four pickup, Jamie McMillan for North Melbourne. Listed as a defender, only in 52% of teams. Again, they've got GWS this week, I think, North Melbourne. After that, they play three pretty easy games. We know Jamie McMillan's pretty hot and cold, but with Sam Wright actually coming into that team, maybe he's a little bit more freed up to run through the middle, and Zeeble's gone forward, so a bit interesting there with Jamie McMillan. Number five, we've got Benny Ainsworth from Gold Coast. This is a forward, very few teams, but again, he's playing mid, and he's pushing forward as well, so we know he's a forward pocket player, but he is getting run through the midfield at the moment, and he's scored quite well over the last couple of weeks. Number six, Blake Hardwick, defender for Hawthorn. I think he's worth owning only in half of the league, so I think he could do worse if you're after a defender. And number seven, Jono, I've done your trick, 68% ownership. But the Tomahawk has been dropped. Listen to these, wow. Their next three matchups: Essendon, Carlton, Gold Coast. He's going to kick 20 goals. Like, he's worth owning. 68%. Come on.
That's all I've got. And what have you got there, Statesman?
I just got a couple to add for our keepers. Ed Phillips and Kilda, very impressive debut. And they'll have to go to the development now, surely. The St Kilda Football Club, 86 points first up, and looks very comfortable, and looks like he's going to be one of those link-up players, a lot of plus sixes with his marking. Only owned by 22%, so if you're struggling for especially if you're talking your more deeper leagues, if you're struggling for a bit of on-field midfield, he can support you. But I think for the long term, looks like he's going to have a pretty healthy career. And the next one, I was pretty embarrassed that Jono didn't mention him. So we should cover him because he's certainly someone we haven't talked about for a while. And that's Matthew Kennedy at Carlton, dropped this week. We'll be back very soon, only owned by 40%. High-end talent. He will come good, gentlemen. So back in Matthew Kennedy.
Blues had a win, so it's hard to get back into that winning team there, Statesman. So might be sitting out another week. Moving on now, we've got the Statesman Skippers, where he's just going to go through. We're going to do the midweek trade, Steve. Your dozen deals comes out each and every Tuesday, where you look at wheels and deals of to buy, sell, and hold. And who have you got this week?
Yeah, actually, I thought I'd take a little bit of a different tact this week. I think I've been mentioning some pretty high-profile players in recent weeks. I think I mentioned Taylor Adams, I mentioned Luke Parker, JPK. We can't always be swinging deals for absolute studs. Sometimes just the low-end deals are the easiest ones to get done. They're one-on-one trades. No one really feels too hard about it. But I just think with all the forwards that are coming in, they're so replaceable, but the defenders are the guys who are hard to replace. So a defender I'm keeping my eye on is Andrew McGrath for Essendon. Much as what Statesman was talking about before with the big... I'm in agreement, there has to be change at Essendon. He's number one pick. He's just before he got injured. I know I just talked about getting trading for injured players, but it's supposed to be only 1 or 2 weeks, but he did play a bit more wing, midfield, whatever you want to call it. Certainly can win his own ball. They need some winners in the midfield. David Myers, unfortunately, isn't the answer. So I'm all about Andrew McGrath, and he really shouldn't cost you too much. I actually picked him up in our home league off the waiver wire this week. He got dropped because of the injury probably. So I think he's a great buy. And someone I'm looking to trade out, Caleb Daniel. Again, not a high-end player, but I think we mentioned about a month ago the Western Bulldogs were about to come into a really favourable block of matches. Caleb Daniel was someone we mentioned as someone to scoop up. And I think in most matches he scored at least 85 in Dream Team and 87, definitely at least 87 in the last month in Supercoach. So their draw hardens up. Much like me, if I had a trade of Taylor Adams, I would have really hardened up. But he's someone you should be able to trade out pretty easily, I think, especially if you're doing it. You could do a one-for-one swap for Andrew McGrath because Daniel's average looks really good. Like I said, he's had the favourable draw. It's about to get tougher for the Bulldogs, so I think he's a really easy player to sell.
Yeah, and if you look further ahead in the year and you're in pretty good finals contention, the Doggies' finals run's pretty juicy. They've got the Saints, Carlton and North Melbourne over the final series as well, so plenty of points are on offer there if you can snag a few Doggies points.
Did you listen? I was trying to trade him out.
Yeah, but if you can pick him up.
Oh, okay, so you're looking for the other side.
Yeah, yeah.
You've got to get there first, Jono.
When you win by about 600 points, you get that nice percentage boost.
Talking about you, the listeners. The listeners need the edge. That's no edge.
I need Michael Barlow. That's what I need. Bloody Stuart, you. But if you do like the show, you can find us out on iTunes, Stitcher and SoundCloud. If you've got a couple of minutes, hit the 5-star rating there and do leave us a review. We really appreciate it as it really helps our brand to get out there so everyone else can listen to the pod and win their leagues. But moving on now, we've got the Statesman Skippers where he gives us a bit of a roughie, outside chances, someone who can score well and that roll gold absolute certainty. So who have you got this week, Statesman?
Yeah, absolutely. So Adelaide and the Western Bulldogs, Jack McRae, obviously he's got to be the man right now if we're talking up. So if you got him, just VC up and see what happens. Plenty of options, obviously, in that game. You got McLean, you got Crouch, you got Laird, you got Gibbs. Although there's one definite that we know about, and that's that the Bulldogs give up points in the ruck. So if you do own Sam Jacobs, he's got a free ride to Pointsville this week. So just put on the VC and see what happens for you. This week's captain risky was Ed Curno, and rightfully so. Steve challenged that. He probably wasn't a risk. He was just probably less known. He did come out with 142, but that is offset because it's 100 points more than another captain risky I got, which was Jeremy Cameron for the GWS game. So that was a huge fail. But with the riskies, we're going to have a few fails here and there. So this week, defenders against Geelong have been racking them up. So in the last 4 weeks, we've seen Lloyd score 120, Jonas 108, Haynes for GWS 99, and with Collingwood, we had Crisp with 147, Sharon Goat with 132, and Howe with 123. So this is good news for Goddard and Hurley. And after the tag, the captain risky needs to go to the pretzel man himself, Brendan Goddard. So this week's captain risky, coming from a 36 that I think he got last week, we're expecting him to add 100 points to that and get around the 130 mark. So captain risky for round 9 will be Brendan Goddard.
Thanks for that, Statesman. Now, listeners, we have a special guest on the pod tonight. You may have seen his work on the website. He writes up the weekly injury report. That is the man, the myth, the legend, Mr. Cameron Downing. Welcome to the show.
G'day, mate, and g'day, lads, and g'day, listeners. I have a bit of an announcement to start things off, and that's a bit of a rebrand, hashtag rebrand. Cameron Downing is no more. Cameron McLaughlin steps into the fray. And for the purpose of, I feel like every AFL podcast and report needs to have some kind of McLaughlin attached to it, and so I'd like to be known as the least successful, least paid, most follically challenged AFL affiliated McLaughlin. So thanks very much for having me on. So I thought I'd just take you through maybe the top five, I guess, fantasy-relevant injuries of the week. And to be honest, it's actually been a pretty good week for injuries. My fingers have had a bit of a bye when typing up the injury results. It's basically, the big one is the first womp of the round, and that was Matty DeBoer. So I don't want to put anything on the docks because you've had a pretty big hype around Matty DeBoer over the last few weeks, but he's now copped a hammy, and so a lot of teams are going to be feeling a bit of a burden from that lad. So he's probably going to be out for 2 to 3, and I'd be looking at Aiden Bonner. He's about due. I've said it for 2 to 3 weeks in the article. He's going to come in, be that goal sneak for the GWS. The next one actually played in the VFL earlier today, Jamie Elliott. So I picked him up off the waiver, and I was ready to slot him into my team. I was ready for for that, and he unfortunately copped a hammy today again, and he just can't get a break. It's probably 4 weeks. Like, I wouldn't touch him with a 10-footer. I'm throwing him back on the waiver pretty quickly. And another Collingwood bloke, Darcy Moore, another hammy today. It's probably looking at maybe 2 to 3. A little bit less of it severe, and he was coming back from injury, but he's going to be, I guess, a little bit better off than Jamie Elliott. I would probably expect Ben Reid to come in for him, and as far as Jamie Elliott's injury, I'd be looking at probably locking down someone like a Josh Thomas off the waiver if he's existing there. Finally, Aaron Norton copped a massive ankle injury, but I mean, it's not really fantasy relevant. But the last fantasy relevant injury, I'd say, is the entire Gold Coast Suns Neefel team. They just couldn't get anything right. What was it? It was 2 points in one quarter and 2 points in another quarter for a final score of 4 points. So, just throw them all on the injury list, lads, and that's me done, I reckon.
What are your thoughts on David Swallow? He had sitting there in the fourth quarter with his knees and shins iced up. Do you reckon he'll miss a game, or is it just more of a precautionary action with him?
I'd put money on it being a precaution. So Stuart Dew came out after the game, and he's basically said that, you know what, we basically couldn't win from where we were, and and so we'll take him off the field, and hopefully he'll come good next week. So I'm putting him in the report tomorrow as no issue and no waiver to pick up.
No, fair enough. I am a Swallow owner, so I was concerned there when I did see him sitting on the bench. It was hard when you're watching six games of football simultaneously, just flicking around there. Pendles, do we know any more about his ankle, or it was just last week, Geelong style there?
So I reckon they've thrown a bit of a Geelong at us, but I'd say Pendles will be good next week. He is a rapid healer, and he was apparently, you know, within minutes of playing the game. I would put him down for next week, lock it in.
Yep, okay, so you can ignore Chris Mayne for that waiver wire pickup then, because Pendles will be back and affect his scoring. But you never know, because he can play that lockdown forward and kick a few snags.
And actually, I would lock Chris Mayne in for a position. He'll hold that position while Jamie Elliott can't come back.
That's true. And his form's been good, so he must have done something with Bucks and paid him off. thanks very much for that, Cam McLaughlin. He'll be coming onto the pod intermittently throughout the year, and you can check out his injury report on the website, thedraftdoctors.com.au. That wraps up the show for this week. Thank you very much for listening. If you want to follow us on social media, you can do that by checking us out on Twitter, at thedraftdoctors, at Statesman33, at thepotatobake. Is it still at thepotatobake, or have you changed it to Mr. McLaughlin?
It will always be at the Potato Bake, because Potato Bake is awesome.
Yes, it is. Good man. And STPorter15, and you can search us out on the Facebook as well. I'm guaranteeing you there will be no mistakes in the late week pickups this week, but I'm sure something will happen.
Whoa.
My guarantees are... Put that lock on it, like in The Simpsons. What is it? This is my lock of the week.
Guarantee void in Tennessee.
That's it. Thank you very much for listening, and we'll see you next week.
Thank you for listening to another episode of the Draft Doctors Podcast. Don't forget to subscribe and review.